I'd like to call to order the Evansville Metropolitan Planning Organization Policy Committee. First item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the previous meeting.
Motion to approve.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. I'm going to put off the election of officers until next month, since we never do it in January, because most of the people aren't appointed by the time we have our first meeting in January. But in this case, I think everyone has probably been appointed, but nevertheless. I'll give you a chance to think about it for a month. Old business, Laura, update project.
Okay, just a few updates today. We're going to start off with the City of Evansville's Oak Hill Road project. This is phase two from Pigeon Creek to Lynch Road. The project has slowed due to the weather, but the project is currently on track for completion in July of this year. Happy to make you happy. Moving on to the Washington-Weinbach Avenue intersection, right-of-way acquisition continues there. On to page three for the town of Newburgh, we have the Newburgh River Town Trail. The town council signed an update contract for funding with NDOT on December the 11th. And for the Newburgh sign replacement project, the council is awaiting review and approval of the CEF, which was revised and resubmitted in November.
I can give you comments have come back from the state level, and I'm capturing all of them
okay.
in a couple formats, so I should have that back to the town and the MPO within the next week or two.
Okay. Is it a positive? No. Okay. Moving on to Warrick County and the Lincoln Avenue Project Phase 2, which is 1,000 foot east of Groom Road to east of Bell Road. All work on this section of the project is now complete, and I think we had a little postponing there to get some pavement markings and some signs in. And that may be it. That's all the updates I have this month.
Any questions? Thanks, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
I was remiss. I forgot to introduce two of our members. Kevin's had a complete body makeover. He now looks like Keith Todd and from Kentucky Transportation, and Jackie is here from NDOT, and she's filling in for Rusty, who's ill, I understand. Welcome. Now, moving on, item B, Regional Plan for Sustainable Development Project Status Update. David.
Thank you, Jack. Also with me today is Mike Shoulders with Bernard Mockmiller and Associates. And Mike is the project manager for the Regional Plan for Sustainable Development, which is has been an ongoing project over the past 3 years, and we are enthusiastic that it will soon be coming to you in its final draft form. Actually, it will be coming to you in March in its final draft form. And that being the case, I'm not going to talk today about the details of the plan, but rather I've kind of taken it upon myself on behalf of the MPO staff, Mike and our team, the SEEK Consortium Group, the Sustainable Evansville Area Coalition, and hundreds if not thousands of members of the public that came to us and have been a part of this plan. The case as to why now is the absolute perfect time to be developing a regional plan for the Henderson, Warrick, and Vandenberg County region. So if you'll bear with me, I want to kind of run through this, take 15, 20 minutes, and at the end of this presentation, either myself or Mike will be more than happy to answer any questions that you might have. So this will be the only slide that I read. I don't make habit of reading slides, but the plan that we have developed are nearing completion on, and the effort that went into that was funded through a grant from the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development, as well as the United States Department of Transportation and the United States Environmental Protection Agency. But HUD, as we all know it, has has defined a sustainable community as you see in front of you, which is an urban, suburban, or rural community that has more housing and transportation choices, is closer to jobs, shops, and schools, and is more energy independent and helps protect clean air and water. So in essence, if you're planning sustainably for a region, I guess the assumption would be that you're trying to become a sustainable community. And we talk community rather amorphous. It could be as large as a region, as smaller as counties, all the way down to even neighborhood levels. That being said, if you look at this definition, it's safe to say that every portion of Vandenberg, Warrick, and Henderson County falls within the urban, suburban, or rural designation. And as well, our charge in developing a plan to help move us towards becoming a more sustainable community has to have this as kind of the overarching concept. So what we've done is we took and outlined the tenets for sustainable development. In essence, the principles that guided us as we were working with the MPO staff in this region in preparing this plan. And we kind of hold true to those as we're conducting this or developing this plan. So I want to walk you through each of these tenets and give you some thoughts on those, and then we'll jump into some national trends and then take a much harder look at our region. Infill development. Basic concept here is concentration of development, if in any way possible, within corporate city limits would be defined as infill. So that could be greenfield areas within a corporate city limit, so open properties that have not yet been developed. It could be grayfield areas where we've got circumstances where we need to redevelop or repurpose an existing structure that is not serving a purpose at this point. It could be anything in between that. So blighted properties and such that you kind of want to take a look at, raise them, reconstruct housing in those locations, or other appropriate types of development that would fall in line with the character of those regions. Now, the idea of infill development and its true value to being sustainable is that inherently, those places where infill would be most prominent, so in the repurposed type areas, you already have generally all existing infrastructure. So it may not be right at the spot, but you have water, sewer, stormwater treatments, you have roads, you have sidewalks in many cases, you have electric, everything is there. So the cost to the local municipals is for development in those locations is substantially cheaper. Okay? So that's kind of the premise. Further, it brings in redeveloping or in infill development, you're bringing people back into the urbanized areas or the municipals, and it allows them to capture a better tax revenue, if only for the fact that your houses that are vacant are being brought back to a nicer condition and so forth. So ultimately, it really is a dollars and cents concept as well. So another underlying principle is that when planning sustainably, you look to develop walkable neighborhoods. Okay, all right. Well, again, some basic ideas here. Those areas within urbanized or incorporated areas have a tendency to already have some features that would be walkable, accommodations for walking being one of the main ones. And also, where we haven't lost too much of this type of development, you do have some basic amenities within distance of housing. Now, if indeed you're developing new housing, the idea to be a walkable neighborhood is to develop it in such a way so you do have the basic amenities within a reasonable walking distance. So we are promoting more alternative modes of transportation, getting people out of the car, not only for recreational purposes, but perhaps for others, and then maybe making it so that they might opt to use transit as a more viable option as opposed to always jumping in the car. Okay? Walkable neighborhoods inherently are healthy neighborhoods, and there's no question we all understand this, that our region, our nation, could stand to become more healthy. The cost of health care, even if it's for the personnel that are hired under a municipal, it varies depending on the health of your employees. So this would promote healthier people or communities as well. Preservation of workforce housing. Suffice it to say, most any community has workforce housing, that is, housing that is located where there is work, but more importantly, maybe where there was work. The Evansville region has some unique opportunity in that you still have some major employment centers in and around housing stock. Now, the thing is, I think we'd all acknowledge that that housing stock in many cases is deteriorating. And so there has to be a conscious effort in preserving or improving those areas. And again, where there's blighted property and it's beyond or it's in disrepair, consideration of raising, rebuilding single family, perhaps maybe multifamily, some unique housing alternatives in locations where we have employment centers in these incorporated areas. Again, the concentration here is on preservation, and further, if you're living near to your workplace, there is a compelling argument that you may not have to have the transportation piece, the vehicle. You could go a little light on vehicles and use transit to get you to the mall or wherever you may want to go from an entertainment standpoint, but actually be able to walk to work, okay? Another underlying tenet is development along major transportation arteries. Now you need to think, the idea here is this. There's going to be new development. We hope a lot of new development in our region. Trying to get the focus on making that development happen in and around major transportation arteries is key. And it, for many reasons, one is that extending more roads and so forth, we may be able to, as a municipal or municipality, pass that on to a developer on the front. The long-term maintenance is ours, okay? That's always going to be an additional burden to your tight budgets. So getting them to locate on existing major transportation thoroughfares is key. Some other components on developing in those locations would be the following. Do so in a way where you've got mixed use. Multiple opportunities of housing, commercial opportunities, so basic amenities, some conveniences even beyond the basic amenities in these locations, a range of housing choices from multifamily and on, which would imply a range of affordability relative to your position in life. And my example was, if you think of yourself and me as an example, when I got out of college, actually as I got married while I was in college, lived in an apartment here in Evansville. My next transition was to a rather ratty rental home, but it was all that I could manage, to which then I moved to a more affordable, basic, first homeowner home. I had a transition of housing through my life and have done so. We need to make sure that these developments along these transportation arteries provide all of those options within one location. One final note is that if we've got that kind of development, it's inherently dense. There's a higher population base. Therefore, if in the long-term future we want an alternative to the transit options that were already afforded through our various transit services to advance up to a bus rapid transit type option, that would provide that logical transit route for a rapid transit system. And then finally, and not any less important than the others, is the concept of protection of sensitive and managed lands, open space, parks, and so forth. And I'll kind of point to two basic concepts to think about here if you want to embrace this more locally as opposed to it just being a basic tenet. Farm property and farming is vital to our region. It's one of the major economic drivers of our region. The more we consume farming property for non-farming purposes, the more we cut into that. Further, the natural assets that we have here with the Ohio River, some very unique bluegrass fish and wildlife, multiple unique natural features that we've been handed, that we live around. Protecting those is critical. Further, watershed, watershed, watershed. We have such an important role as good stewards to protect our watershed, which feeds the Ohio River, which is one of our greatest assets. Now, what are the national trends? What are they telling us? Okay, again, as planners, we've been asked to develop the research or find the research that kind of paints the picture. What is nationally is happening that would drive our planning process? Well, the market conditions are changing. This group called the millennial generation, my children are in that generation. They were raised in the suburb, mowed my grass, helped me take care of all of our property. And they don't care for that anymore. And I know we all went through that phase in our life where we got out of our house and said, that's not what we want. But a fair number of us said, it's not what we want now. Maybe later. They're not even saying later. They're more than happy to allow the communities to provide the parks and the pool and the trail and the dog park and everything that we kind of created in our suburbs. They're more than happy to let the cities provide that for them. They prefer renting over home ownership. They're afraid of home ownership. Let's think about it generationally. It was our grandparents, at least in my case, actually, let me back up. I'm gonna pull a generation forward. My parents saw their home value increase 3-4-fold. Okay? Now, that's my children's grandparents. My children won't see that for me. And in a lot of cases, some of them saw our houses go upside down with the latest crisis. They don't see home ownership as a good investment anymore. Solid, sure, for the most part should stay steady, but they don't see it as a great investment. So another group that's changing the market conditions, this baby boomer group. I'm happy to say that I just missed it by a year. But nonetheless, this group is looking to age in place. They've recognized over the course of time that the home, their castle, becomes more and more of a burden, and they're beginning to think of removing that burden, looking at alternative choices for housing, rather than just hanging on and hanging on until someone has to ask them to go to a skilled nursing facility or something of that sort, which we never want to think about. Nonetheless, this particular group is looking seriously at travel, and they too want kind of what the young folks want. They want a place to exercise, walk, they want conveniences, coffee shop, grocery. So we need to provide for this group. This is a change condition. This is a national trend. We're not the only ones who are struggling with aging infrastructure. Our budgets are tight. You're getting asked time and time again to find ways to cut. And that's a national trend. Now, understanding that this inherently tells you that when you're planning, you need to be more sustainable. So if you think of it from a municipality standpoint, from a local government standpoint, this drives you to say, invest more and try and get people coming back in where you've already got infrastructure in place. Albeit it may need some upkeep, it may need some upgrade, but nonetheless it's there. This is a national trend. We're getting smarter. We're tracking things better. Years ago, we tracked consumption of water, gas, electric, so forth, just so we could make sure we billed you. So we get that fee, right? Well, this day and age, we can even track, we know when we're losing water in our aging underground supply system. We know the hundreds of thousands of gallons that are leaking out of our system, and we're trying to do things to remedy it. We have an opportunity to be much smarter, and as a region, we're embracing this, and further, it just falls right in line with being more sustainable. Now, a couple other things, and then we'll move into our region. Nationally, we have a little issue when it comes to housing, where the demand is ahead of the supply in two key areas. Multifamily attached type dwellings, the demand nationally far exceeds what the supply is by 10%. Small lots, almost the same. Where we have more supply than demand is where we tend to be focusing a lot of our attention from a development standpoint. Now, in fairness, what's already built, understandably, we want to get that filled. But we have to understand that the market is driving a slightly different direction. Okay, those are national standards. Now, I would argue we're not 10 years behind the curve. And if the Midwest is, the curve's caught us. Okay? One last point. HUD defines a sustainable home as a home in which your housing costs plus your transportation does not exceed 50% of your annual income. Okay? The average American home already exceeds that by a percent. Now, you got to look at our region. Are we transit rich or are we auto dependent? Well, we know where we're at. We are far more auto dependent. So suffice it to say, at least in our region, there are a whole lot of us that don't have sustainable homes. Given the options, we believe that people will begin to trend themselves in the right direction. Now, I look at it from a money standpoint, green. Green up there, think of it as money. Dollars that I can spend other places. If we are less obligated to our housing and transportation, we have more cash to spend going to the movie or doing things that contribute to the local economy. Now, what's our regional growth trend? And this one it's a powerful one, and we've tried multiple ways to make sure we get this point across. Now, take a look at that chart, 1990, 2000, 2010, and then 2050. This is our regional population and the developed land associated with it. The first three are real, obviously. We have that information. The last one is a projection based on forecasts for our region. Okay, so what does that mean? Ultimately, what you can see on the far right-hand side is that we are becoming less dense in population. So it's kind of the urban sprawl concept, very typical throughout the United States, especially in the Midwest. So you look at it pictorially or graphically, if we squeezed all the developed land into one concentrated area in 1990, that's how much land was developed in our region, 2000 this much, 2010 this much, and if we follow the trend that is suggested in 2050, that's what we'll consume. Where's the farm property? When you do that, a lot of the red that's on this picture isn't even touching our county. Slide it over and let it, or our counties, let it touch it. Now, if that one doesn't sink in, think of it this way, as a percent of change. In reality, our region's population has a very modest, steady growth. Not bad, because there are many regions that are losing population. But our consumption of land is disproportionately growing. Okay? That's a scary trend. My apologies for squeezing in from 2010 to 2050. I know that distorts that, but from a spatial standpoint, understand that it still is not a good trend. So if we could turn the tide, improve infill development, get people moving back towards the incorporated areas, even to get our density to 2,000, take a look at what happens. Same dynamic here with these three, but our last circle, shows that in that 40-year time frame, we have a very modest growth rate. And if our infill development is even better, that could actually diminish. And then if you want to look at it this way, again, we start to see a flatlining of land consumption, which is critical. Now, okay, so that's our growth trend. Kind of the last piece to all of this is, so we often have heard this idea of sustainability and sustainable development was a coastal-driven concept. And it's fair that the pressures they were feeling did drive it first. Now, that said, if any of the sustainable concepts need to, if we need motivation for these, then the best thing for us to do is look at metropolitan areas in our Midwest. So what we wanted to do was start comparing ourselves as a region, and all these comparisons, I'm talking about the Evansville-Vandenberg-Warwick metropolitan area compared to some of the others. Now take a close look at these, and I'm glad you've got the screens to do this. And I think it's safe to say we all believe we're an aging region, getting a little older. Is that a fair assessment? Our steady growth, and it's been fairly steady with population 65 and over, is at 6%. Now, every time you hit 65, a person hits 65, that's changed. And this is from 2000 to 2010. Now, we aren't growing that population base proportionately. We're losing population, if you think about it. Because some of our Midwest competition, theirs is growing large. So the snowbird concept, people moving to the Floridas and so on, this whole crisis has changed that dynamic. Well, they're moving somewhere, and it's away from here. We've got to become more attractive for them so that they stay here. Let's let the flight be from their home, the big home, to the townhome in this region. All right? What about that millennial group? Again, we're experiencing a very steady, and this has been over the course of the last several decades, a fairly steady 4% growth rate in that age category. But if you look at, again, other metropolitan areas, we're at 4%. The Bowling Greens, the Lafayette, Bloomington, 14%. And you say, yeah, but, you know, they've got the major universities. Yes, they do. But they're retaining that population and growing that population better than we are. We need our percent to be higher, okay? Now, I guess correlating the two, we don't have as many multifamily housing choices in our region. And so perhaps one of the detractors for the millennial group is, where do I live? Is it a deteriorated house in the city that's around a lot of deteriorated houses, or do I have a better option? And is this community providing it for them? Again, there's a gap there. We need to improve that. This is a real telling one. From 2000 to 2009, they've tracked where your new development is occurring in these regions. For us, over that 10-year period, about 6.5% of our development has been infill development. Okay? Now, if you look, and we expanded this to Michigan, Missouri, some other regions, a significant number, but I would highlight South Bend and Fort Wayne as having made strides in making a conscientious effort to invest in and develop within corporate city limits, trying to bring people back in. Okay, and again, the disparity between the top to the bottom is a little alarming. It concerns me that we aren't putting the focus where we need to on this front, because people are going to go somewhere. Why not here? Let's give them those options. All right, last one. We talk about brain drain. Our three-county region experiences a migration. Now, let me explain this. This is purely move in, move out. This is not new children being born. This is move in, move out. From 2000 to 2010, and if you look at our region, our Evansville region, not bad. The disappointing part, the alarming part to me is the total number in population change of move-ins. We're only talking about, I mean, our highest move-in is 1,998 people over 10 years. That's not a lot of move-in. We're not getting a lot of move-in. Now, here's the other thing. You say, oh, it's alarming, that brain drain piece, they're leaving. You know, they come in, and then we're getting this mass exodus. The good news is they're not exiting more than they're coming in the age groups before. That's a positive, okay? And the other good news is that we do have steady move-in, just not to the level we want it. So we found another county in our state that had all positive. Clark County. Now, you all say, Clark County, oh yeah, that's they get all that Louisville move-in, right? Well, you can see from this chart, if you look, it's kind of hit a peak. They're not getting the quantity anymore. At one time, it's the fastest growing region in the state of Indiana. It's not anymore, okay? So it is growing, and it's steady, but it really isn't that much different than us, is it, if you really think about it? Then you want to look at, let's look at Monroe County. You say, wow, you first look at that. They're pretty flatlined. They're not really getting a lot of move-ins anywhere except, well, you say, well, it makes a lot of sense. Of course they're moving in there. Where are they going? Going to college. They're moving in. They're calling that their home. They're also moving out about like they are with us. If you look at the real difference, look at the totals. Almost 30,000, a little over 30,000 from ages 15 to 24 moving in, and about 15, 16, 17,000 moving out. That's a pretty good net, isn't it? That's why Bloomington's metro area has grown from about 55,000 to 80,000 over the course of the last 20 years. Whereas ours has been pretty, you know, for a larger, we're not seeing that drastic of growth improvement. So, what's next? Well, we've prepared this draft plan. We're getting ready to take it back to the public. Here's the thing. We've accumulated all this information. We've developed this the basis of our plan. It's a four-volume plan, one of which is the Metro Transportation Plan that is your this group's plan. And we're going to go to the public in February in Warwick, Vandenberg, and Warwick, Vandenberg, and Henderson County, and we're going to put it out there and say, have we hit the mark? Is this what you were thinking? And all the things that you've offered to us, have we hit the mark? We're going to take their input, finalize it, and come back to this group and the TAC earlier during the day in March. We're going to present to you the draft plan in its entirety, the draft plan for you to start mulling over. Now, we're going to go through it a little bit. We'll talk about some of the key things within that plan, but ultimately, we're going to ask you to take that back, review it, offer insight, suggestions, get them back to us, and then we will revise that and come to you with the final draft in April, requesting that the TAC committee adopt a resolution recommending that you approve that plan, and then we'll come to this group in hopes that you'll adopt the plan as the regional plan, sustainable plan for this Evansville metropolitan region. Following that up, and we're trying to still work out the details on this, we want to have a grand celebration because once that happens, the plan comes to life. And this Sustainable Evansville Area Coalition that I talked about earlier, we're about to bring on our 21st member to that group. They have not only offered their support to this plan and contributions to this plan, but they have agreed to try to make that plan come to life, implement the plan. Is their charge. So we want to celebrate and we want to see this thing take off. Now, Mike and I are here to answer any questions that you might have. We will make this plan or this presentation available on the SEEK website at seekplan.org. So, and Mike, is there anything you wanted to?
Good job.
Yes.
Question.
Yeah, if we took your tenets of sustainable development and applied them to the question about location of the new IU Med Center, mm-hmm. Where would you put that?
I refuse to answer that question on the grounds that it would incriminate. There are four, as I understand it, four groups lobbying for the medical facility. And I'm going to tell you that what I think is the real answer to that question, not just a politically safe answer, regardless of where it locates. As long as it locates in this region, we all win. That's my answer. Sorry, Greg.
Greg, I've got a different answer.
So do I.
You think?
Any other questions?
Thanks, Jack. We appreciate the opportunity.
No.
Sorry.
Wait.
Oh, another question. Yes. Russell, go ahead.
Did you refer to the net move-ins and or the move-ins and move-outs? Were those net numbers where they move out of the area, or did they just move?
They are net numbers where they move outside the Evansville metropolitan region. So it literally, it could only be a county away, but nevertheless, they've moved out of our region. Mm-hmm. And similarly, regardless of where they came from, whether it's a state away or a county away, move-ins to the region.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Thanks.
Thank you.
Good job, David.
Good job.
Next item is item C, Metropolitan Transportation Plan for 2040. And I think, Pam, you're up.
Yes, we're here today to ask for your approval of our Metropolitan Transportation Plan 2040 document. We've come before you throughout the development process, bringing the draft to you last month. And then the final step was to put the draft plan out for public comment, which we did from December 6th through December 5th. During the public comment period, we did receive two comments. The first one being a request for us to consider an interchange at I-164/I-69 and Kansas Road to serve the airport. And we took a look at that that request. That project would be an NDOT sponsored project likely. So in looking at the fiscal constraint element of our document, we weren't able to put that project in our funded needs list, so we put it on the illustrative needs, and we will continue to talk with NDOT about the possibility of an interchange along I-164, I-69 to serve the airport from here forward. The second request that we received was consideration be given to an Evansville and a Mount Vernon transit connection. The Mount Vernon component of that would require a transit system be set up to serve Posey County, and while Posey County isn't a part of our metropolitan planning area, which is what is covered by the transportation plan, we do have a rural contract to do some rural planning for them. So what we're committed to do is continue that conversation with representatives from Posey County and Mount Vernon to see if they're interested in developing a transit system so that we could connect with MEPS. Those were the only two public comments that we received during that comment period. And so again, we'll be asking for your approval today of the 2040 plan. Now, if we get your approval today, I do want to note that the transportation plan will not be active until we get federal highway approval, and federal highway approval will not be able to come until we get an approved state implementation plan, or a SIP is what that is called. And the state implementation plan is the plan that's put together to show how we in our region, through the transportation process, will meet and maintain the national ambient air quality standards. And where the SIP approval process is at this point in time is we're anticipating that a Federal Register notice will be published sometime this month. We have that notice out there for 60 days, and at the end of the 60-day process, the hope would be that we would get that SIP approval. So that puts us into March, mid-March, maybe even to March. Until we have all of these documents lined up, the SIP, the transportation plan, and our air quality conformity document, we will not be able to get any TIP amendments approved. So we'll be back on our TIP amendment process cycle come April. What we'll do is if you have any TIP amendment requests, we'll go ahead and take them, and we'll put them all together and bring them back to the board in March for approval, and have those TIP amendment requests get processed concurrently with the SIP and the transportation plan and those other documents. So that's our plan for that. So are there any questions?
Pam, just one point of information. This has been a few years ago, but the county engage a consultant to look at the feasibility of an interchange, I believe, at Millersburg and I-69. John Stoll would probably have that data just as a backdrop.
As a matter of fact, he talked about that this morning at a technical meeting and did give us some information about, you know, who we would have to talk to, what some of the hurdles were at that point in time. Thank you.
Any other questions? Not entertain a motion to approve the Metropolitan Transportation Plan for 2040.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thanks, Pam. This year, it looks like you get the next two.
The first one that I'm here to talk about is the Metropolitan Transportation Air Quality Conformity Documentation document. So last month we presented to you the draft document and then we opened it for public comment period for 30 days and that ended last Sunday, January 5th, and we did not receive any comments, so we request your approval of the Air Quality Conformity document.
Any questions? Not, I'd entertain a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, the same sign. Next, under new business.
All right. The next item I have is the Evansville Regional ITS Architecture Document. And again, this is like we first developed the Evansville Regional ITS Architecture in 2007. And whenever we have ITS-related projects within the region, we have to update that architecture. So the last time we updated it was in 2009 when we did the downtown traffic signal modernization. So again, now in 2014, the city of Evansville is looking at taking up two signal modernization projects, one at Fulton Avenue and Ohio Street, and the other one is another set of downtown signals between Franklin, Columbia, North Main, and I think Garvin Street. There are about 12 signals in that project too, so we updated the architecture with those two documents and we request your approval.
Questions? How old is that intersection at Fulton?
You mean the signal?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. It's the last time.
There's some something to do with the light up on our channel. There are connections with Fulton on lower Fulton channels.
Yes.
And this is just, I understand.
That was. In 2009, what they did is they updated the signal at that time too, but that ITS update was to put in an advanced warning sign for the rail crossing. They have a yellow blinking light there whenever there is a train going through the tracks. So that was 2009.
So it probably doesn't need it.
And that is the most frustrating intersection.
I was going to say that was that particular intersection is almost like a disconnect from the grid, which actually is causing more backups there because it does not sync with the rest of the intersections on that grid, and that's how that this grant process became because of the more motorists are there, more pollutants you have, and so now this will allow this to become an interconnection with the grid of those intersections, which should help traffic flow better.
Any other questions? Not entertaining a motion for approval.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Thanks, Fisher.
Thank you.
Next item is the approval of bills. I entertain a motion for that.
So moved.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Public comment. I'm going to be the public comment. We have a member who has decided to go astray and leave us. He's been here since 2006. He's been a very excellent member, especially when it comes to biking. He's probably the most knowledgeable of any of that sits here, I think. We're sorry to see him go, but since he has not been replaced, and the law says he has to serve until there's a replacement, he may be with us for a while longer. But nevertheless, we wanted to show our appreciation, Greg.
For grateful appreciation for your outstanding dedicated service to the people of your community.
Great. Thank you. Any public comments you'd like to make?
Complete streets.
Anything else? If not, we are adjourned.